Title of our message this morning is on the back of your bulletin, Following God's Plan. Joshua 1, 10 to 18. Let me read those verses before we start. Joshua 1, 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And the Reubenites and to the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you this side of Jordan, that ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave unto you this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." I heard about a man that recently arrived at the Edmonton International Airport, ready to go on a flight. He took his 3 bags to Air Canada, luggage check-in, and said, "I would like 1 suitcase to go to Vancouver. I'd like to send the 2nd to New York and the 3rd to London, England." A somewhat startled Air Canada employee replied, "We cannot do that, sir." "Why not?" demanded the wise guy. "You did that the last time I flew with you." It's sometimes frustrating when things go in multiple directions, isn't it? Having things misdirected will often cause trouble. And Joshua was about to lead Israel into Canaan, but he knew the strength of his army was going to be diminished if some of the soldiers refused to serve in the army. And as we look at our text this morning, we will consider that calling people to follow God's plan works when they respond with enthusiasm. First of all, we're told the history. Verse 10, Joshua called all the officers together to ready the Israelites for their new venture. And then he tells them in verse 11 what must be done. "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals." That reminds me of Beverly Hillbillies. Didn't you remember that on that program when they were talking about victuals? "For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." 3 days. Only 3 days left. And they were going to arrive at their destination. They were told to prepare for the crossing of the river. That included preparing some extra food and, of course, taking down their tents. Can you imagine how monotonous that may have become? Pitching a tent and taking it down, pitching a tent and taking it down. They got experts of that at 40 years of doing that. But things are going to change. Although Jericho would be entirely destroyed except for Rahab's home, the other cities would be left intact for Israel to inhabit and live in. But notice the emphasis in this verse upon the land. They were to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. It is always fundamental in our understanding that all things that are good are given to us by whom? By God. James 1:17 is a verse that probably many of us can quote, but let me read it to you for a moment. James 1:17 says this: "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God is the source of any blessings that you and I receive. And in reality, it is very important for us to understand that whenever we receive things from the hand of God, He is the source. We are not self-made creatures. When we comprehend this truth, our life will go more smoothly. Our unique talents, our skills, our aptitudes are given to us by God. And one particular thing, the greatest gift that God gives is eternal life. And that is the primary gift of God to a human race that's fallen into sin. Verse 12, he gathers together some of the people. Notice who he gathered: the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Now, some of us, most of us understand this whole concept of tribes, but let me remind you where that concept of the tribes came from. There was a man whose name was Jacob, and Jacob was a man of God. Although sometimes miserably failed, he loved the Lord. And at one point in his life, his name was changed to Israel, meaning God with us. And Israel, or Jacob, had 12 sons. And those sons became the head of tribes, except for the fact that Israel had 13 tribes. Now, how do you put that into everything? Well, the reason is the tribe of Joseph was divided into two after Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So there were 13 tribes that entered into the land of Canaan. Joshua said, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord hath given you rest and hath given you this land." He's talking to the 2.5 tribes that had already received their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan River. And they were to remember that this was given to them by God. If you go back to Numbers chapter 32, and please do that for a minute, because we're going to read a few of the verses there. This records the event where they were given that land and the charge that Moses gave to them. Verse 1. Numbers 32:1. "The children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, Gad and Reuben," I'm going to kind of paraphrase this or shorten it a little bit, "came unto Eleazar and Moses and the princes of the congregation, and they said, We like this country," basically. "Even the country," verse 4, "which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore they said, If we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given to thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over to Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war while you sit here?" And the story goes on that they agreed that once the children of Israel went across the river, that the people that would lead the fight would be these 2.5 tribes that were going to have their possession on the east side of Jordan. Moses sensed the danger, didn't he? And the danger was this, is that people would feel forsaken if they had helped those 2.5 tribes clear the land so that they could live there, but they didn't go and help their brethren when they crossed the river. And so because of that, he commanded them that when the river was crossed, that these 2.5 tribes would send their men of war over to help and actually lead in this conquest. Now, forward a few years later, or maybe months later, and Joseph now reminds the 2.5 tribes of their promise. We need to see the heroics that are mentioned here. Verse 14. It reminds what Moses had said. Your wives and your little one and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed and all the mighty men of valor and help them. Notice a couple things. First, the fact that all the men of war would be going across the river tells us that they were at peace on the east side. They could leave their children and their wives and the younger men and so on. They could leave them there in relative safety because God had already given them that side to possess. Notice also something else. They would accompany the rest of the nation because they were at peace in their place of occupation. Now, the scripture gives a title to these soldiers. What are they called? Mighty men of valor. Actually, there are two strong words describing these warriors. The word for mighty is gibor. It's actually used of the Messiah in Isaiah 9:6, where he's called the mighty God. So this is a very powerful word. They were mighty men. They weren't just weaklings. They had been strengthened by their wandering in the wilderness, and they had become men that God could use in the conquest of the land. These men are also termed men of valor, and that emphasizes apparently the physical strength of these men. But it may also have reference to moral excellence as well. In this group were clearly men who kept their word. How do we know that? Because they had made the promise to Moses, right? And now, when the time comes, when crunch time comes, they're ready to go over with their fellow brothers and sisters in Israel to help them out. You know something? It's very important for us as servants of God to be people of our word. Nothing will impede their determination. They were unlike the generation that went before them. The generation that went before them were afraid. They didn't want to go to war. They didn't want to go and fight the giants. They didn't want to go and conquer the cities with the big walls. But these men were definitely people who had strength from God. What a challenge in our day. Oh, that men and women in our generation would be people of might and of valor. We need uncommon courage in the face of a wicked culture. Sadly, today, people who profess Christ sometimes succumb to the ways of the world. They're like the sons-in-laws of Lot. You know what they said? They said it was like when Lot went down and said, come on, we got to get out of here. It says it was like he was one who mocked. We make fun of Lot because Lot doesn't know what he's talking about. Isn't that the way sometimes we get treated? When we speak the truth of God, well, you guys are just a bunch of religious nuts. You don't know what you're talking about. My friends, despite that, we need to have people of courage. Jesus spoke a little bit about that very same thing in Luke chapter 13. Something serious happened, and the people come and tell Jesus about this serious incident, Luke 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Can you imagine how wicked Pilate was? He killed some Jewish people up there in Galilee, and he took their blood and put it with the sacrifices. How evil could a person be? Then Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans? Because they suffered such things? You know, it is sometimes the tendency of people to say, well, that person must have been bad because he suffered something terrible. And what does Jesus say? I tell you, no, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The matter of the fact is that judgment is coming upon this world. And if people don't repent, they're going to perish. But in this case, of these people, they were ones that stood up for the Lord. There's a point we need to notice in our text. This was not going to be an open-ended commitment that would leave these men many, many years away from their homes. It was a limited mission. And it would end once the tribes were settled in their new possessions. No, now carefully notice God's intention for these men was not to be forever vagabonds or men of war. God wanted these people also to enjoy their share of the battles rather than forever be away from home. And so what did he say in verse 15b? Then shall you return to the land of your possession. There would be a time when they would know that their mission was complete and they would return home. What would they do? Well, there's three things I see. First thing is a statement which we've already looked at. Verse 15, it is the land which the Lord your God giveth them. In other words, God had given land to every tribe. But have you ever gone through Joshua 1 and underlined how many times it says the Lord your God gave you this? Verse 2, verse 3, it's suggested in verse 6, verse 11, verse 14, verse 15. What is the emphasis in this entire passage about the land? It was a gift from God. Now, let me remind you of the New Testament implication and parallel between the Old Testament rest and the New Testament rest. According to Hebrews 3 and 4, it is to enter into the salvation of Christ. Salvation is a blessed gift that's given to us by God. It is not something we earn. It is not something that we can grasp for without the help of God. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, my friends, my brothers and sisters, and people who may not yet know Jesus Christ, salvation is of the Lord. It is a gift of God. And six times in this text, they're reminded that the land was given to them by the Lord. And we often need to be reminded of the fact that our salvation is given to us by the Lord. Secondly, they were told, "You shall return unto the land your possession." God promised them success in their battles and a return to their houses. The promise that they would return did happen in Joshua chapter 22, which scholars said took about 7 years. So 7 years they were dedicated to helping their brothers out, and then they went back home. But notice something else in this text. Why were they to return to their home? Verse 15 says, you return there so you can enjoy it. You can enjoy it. God intended for his people to have joy of ownership. There's something about owning one's own place. I don't mean the bank owns it. But when you have that title deed, there's something special about having that, isn't there? Some of you know what I mean. Some of you are hoping to know that soon. To have your own place. But God says, I want you to enjoy it. A few years ago, I became aware of an expression when I went to a fine eating establishment, because that particular waiter, it wasn't a waitress in this case, said something several times, and I've heard it many times since, and I've even said it, and probably you have too. But he brought this, it was a beautiful place to eat, and I don't even remember where it was, but it was good-looking food. And he came to the table, and he was one of those guys that was looking for big tips, I'm sure. He says, enjoy! And he put one plate in front of a person to the next person, enjoy! And he had such enthusiasm. You thought, wow, this has got to be good food. Even if it tasted terrible, it probably tasted good because just the presentation of this waiter. Well, God is saying to the Israelites, enjoy. He says to you and to me, enjoy the salvation of the Lord. It was never meant to be a drudgery to walk with the Lord. It was meant something that we should get great joy from, walking with the Lord. The Bible says at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore, unending. How wicked of people to portray living for Jesus Christ as something to be dreaded. The devil likes to make us think that, doesn't he? The devil likes to make people that are not Christians yet think that, well, being a Christian's got to be the worst thing in the world. I mean, you can't enjoy life anymore. What a lie. We see tragedies like happened this week. An actor by the name of Philip Hoffman died at the age of 46, I think, 45 or 46, surrounded by his cocaine habit. That isn't what Jesus came to give. Jesus came to give life. John 10:10, and that more abundantly. Right? We should enjoy the Lord. There's something else we need to consider in our text, and we're told of the honor. It's very helpful to see the response of the people to God's leaders when they're truly attuned to the Lord. Listen to their eagerness in verse 16. All that thou commandest to do, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. What you want us to do, we will do. Where you send, we will go. There's the heart of missions. And there's the heart that every true believer of Jesus Christ ought to have. Are our hearts ready to do the bidding of the Lord? Do we bow to the will of God in that manner? We sing a song. I wonder if we really mean it. It's called Trust and Obey. Don't you like that song? Anybody not like that song? Well, maybe not the word sometimes, because it says, what he says we will do, where he sends we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. That's the attitude these people had in Joshua, isn't it? We will go. We will serve. We will go at the head where the most danger lies. Verse 17, they add to that commitment, according as we hearken to Moses in all things, so we will hearken to you. This generation had been a group on the whole who were obedient. They promised their devotion to Joshua. What a blessing for God's leaders to know that men and women will love God enough to follow where God leads. There's only one caveat they put upon it. It's not the caveat most people put upon it. But notice what they say in verse 17. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. It says, if God isn't with you, we don't want to go. But if God's in it, we will go. Isn't that enthusiasm? Isn't that commitment? What are they saying? They're saying, stay in the right path, Joshua. Don't deviate from the right or to the left, as we saw God told him earlier. This is such an important statement. It is so important for leaders to stay true to God in their lives and in their teaching. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Joshua was not sinless, but he did walk close to the Lord. We will find a couple incidents in this book where Joshua made a mistake, where he failed the Lord a little bit. But what did he do? When he failed, he made repairs with the Lord immediately. He didn't wait around and say, well, you know, it's not that bad. Notice also these men wouldn't permit rebellion. They would do all that they were commanded, and their final words before they set their faces to the task, they echoed the words of Jehovah God to Joshua. We've talked about these words twice before already. Only be strong and of a good courage. It's almost like they were listening in when God was speaking to Joshua, isn't it? How beautiful to hear the words of God repeated in an encouragement. Be strong and have courage. Be strong, Joshua. Be courageous. Lead us in the paths that we ought to go. What can we glean from this for our lives? I have four thoughts that we can talk about. Number one, we need to be ones who encourage others in Christ. These men encouraged Joshua, didn't they? Joshua encouraged them. He says, time to go with me. And they encouraged Joshua by their willingness to follow. Hebrews 10. This is a verse we often talk about other parts of it, but Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but this next phrase I want you to notice. But exhorting one another. What's that mean? Encouraging, strengthening, helping, doing everything within our ability to encourage your brother and sister in the Lord. And so much more as you see the day coming. The closer we get to the coming of Jesus, the more we need to be encouraging one another. Some cultures and some countries, if you are in the army and you start saying negative things, they'll even execute you. Because that's almost considered treason, or is considered treason. Exhorting one another. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Here's another part of that same thing. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Live up to your name. Live up to your name. Encourage others by the way you live your life for Jesus Christ. Secondly, just like the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, we need to remain faithful. Faithfulness is one of the things that God wants of us, is it not? Do you remember what Jesus said when he told of the last days and standing before the Lord? And he talked about the people with the talents that did their job. His Lord, in Matthew 25, 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And if you look at verse 23, you see he said that to another man as well. Well done, good and faithful servant. Faithfulness to the Lord's charge is our responsibility. Thirdly, there's something else that I notice here, and I've already kind of alluded to it. They restated God's words to Joshua. Only be strong and of good courage. I believe you and I need to do that. We often need to encourage each other in the Word of God. A verse that you have been blessed by, share it with somebody else. And say, hey, this is a verse that's really meaningful. Look at it. JC did that when we were having the scripture reading this morning. These verses are meant for our growth and for our encouragement and for our strengthening and for our walk with the Lord. So let's speak back the word of God. Underlining all of this, as I read this text in Joshua 1, I sense a fourth thing. I sense a spirit of enthusiasm. Don't you? These guys were really excited to go out and do the bidding of the Lord. It ought to be in the lives of God's people that we have enthusiasm to do his will too. Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it complainingly unto the Lord. That's the way some Christians do it. Well, I got to do this. I mean, I'm the church secretary. I got to do this, you know. No, do it what? Heartily. That means putting your entire heart into it. Did not these men do that? They put their heart into doing what God wanted them to do. And of course, ultimately, God blessed them for it. I have worked at many jobs before being full-time in preaching. And one job I had two different bosses, just months apart from each other. One was critical, and he'd tell you what to do and demand things and never help. He actually got let go. Next guy came in, and I heard him on the telephone talking to his superiors. And this first guy had obviously given a bad report about me, because this guy says, I'm not worried about that guy. It's the other guy I'm worried about. Because what was happening is the younger boss and one of the young men were going down the mall to play video games. Meanwhile, I was left to run the whole store by myself. The next guy came in who had a perception of what was going on, and he was an encouragement. And I trust I was to him too. Wherever you went, you'd hear him whistling. It was an encouragement to work for somebody like that who, when you made a mistake, he'd correct it, but he was there to help you. And it made me want to help him, don't you think? What about us? We have our work, whatever that might be. Even if it's just retiring, there's still work to do for the Lord. We have our homes and our families. And do you think that you would like to be encouraged in your home? Then if you want to be encouraged, be an encourager and trust the Lord to work the rest out. Sometimes it's tough, I know. How about church? We need to encourage each other. We have an enemy out there that wants us to shoot at each other, right? We need to encourage each other by how we serve God together and love each other and care for each other. We need to have the resolve of these 2.5 tribes to go and serve the Lord wherever he led them, doing whatever he commanded of them. Perhaps you're not saved today. You know something? You can do all the good works you want, but that doesn't put you in good standing before God, because you, just like myself, are a sinner. My sin separated me from God, and God must judge sin. In fact, he judges it so much that those without God end up in eternity in the lake of fire. But thank God his son came to pay the penalty. And when we trust in Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life now. If you don't have eternal life, talk to myself, one of the elders, somebody else who you know loves Jesus. We'll pray with you and ask the Lord to change that situation in your life. May God be with you this week and be an encourager wherever you go. If you need some encouragement, I was going to say talk to somebody. Well, pick out who you're going to talk to. Make sure there's somebody that's going to encourage you. And if you see somebody that's not encouraging you, go up and encourage them instead. How's that?